It's time to play like a Jet with your host, Scott Mason.
Play like a Jet. What does that mean?
Mekhi Becton, ladies and gentlemen, human beings that large should not run as fast as Mekhi Becton did. And if you like people just abusing other humans, the Mekhi Becton tape is for you.
Denzel Mims with another monster score of 70 yards.
Quick pass to Crowder, trying to get him out of space. Slips a tackle, and there he goes. Crowder, it's a foot race, and Crowder is in there. A 69-yard touchdown.
Takes a shot. Here's Corey Davis, wide open. Davis. Still going, and he's in for the touchdown.
Hill hit immediately when he got the handoff.
You know who that's?
The Q-inator.
Oh my gosh.
Listen, thank you.
From the PlayLikeAJet.com digital studio, this is Play Like a Jet. My name is Scott Mason. You can follow me on Twitter at PlayLikeAJet1. And it is time to talk about the Jets' final preseason game. And boy, did this end in crazy fashion, 31-31, after the Jets got a Hail Mary pass from James Morgan to Kenny Yeboah at the end of the game, got the two-point conversion to tie it. And so they ended up with an undefeated preseason. They won their first two games and then tied the third. And so we will wrap up the preseason with our friend who covers the Jets for NorthJersey.com, Mr. Andy Vasquez. Andy, you have to be pumped that the preseason and training camp are over. No more standing in the hot sun. No more covering meaningless games. Now it's on to the real thing, right?
Yeah, I mean, we have 2 weeks of speculation and guessing before we get to the game. So that's going to be a challenging time to navigate because we're not going to learn really anything new over the next 2 weeks other than who they're keeping and who they're not. And other than that, we're just going to be kind of talking about the future. But yeah, it'll be nice not to wait through preseason rain delays and fourth quarter challenges. And it has been hotter. It's just like disgustingly hot the last couple of days standing out there. And I know, you know, we're not playing or doing anything, but it's so gross. So I'm not going to miss that. I'm just going to be honest with you, but I will miss watching some of these practices and being able to glean some insight off of that. But this is what happens when we get to this stage. We don't get to do that anymore. And that means we're getting closer to real football. And 2 weeks from Sunday, we'll see a game that counts. And I'm very much looking forward to that. That is for sure.
It appeared that Zach Wilson and the rest of the starters might actually play today. But then the rain came, and I think they thought better of it. I'm fine with it. I was nervous that some of these guys were going to get hurt in this game, the important players, especially Zach Wilson. So them not playing was just fine. Made the game less interesting. You got James Morgan and Josh Johnson. Johnson actually looked relatively good for a guy who didn't have to do much. 7 of 8 for 73 yards and a touchdown. He had that touchdown pass to Lawrence Cager. Let's go through the highs of this game on the offensive side of the ball. I thought Vincent Smith looked pretty good. 2 catches, 32 yards. We already talked about Kenny Yeboah. He did get half of his receiving yards on that one Hail Mary, but still a nice performance here. 4 catches for 100 yards and 2 touchdowns. That's not going to stop him from getting released, but maybe now he's got a better shot to catch on somewhere else or even on the practice squad here. Ty Johnson and his powerful thighs, as Chris Nimbley always says on the show. He had a really nice game, 13 carries for 53 yards. Josh Adams, when he got in the game, had a really nice day as well. And I think that running back situation is going to be fascinating because all of those guys are going to get opportunities. I don't think there's going to be one workhorse back here. And then when you look at Captain Morgan, he was more or less what you would expect him to be, but he did have that heroic Hail Mary touchdown at the end of the game, which was cool. And we got to see Jeff Smith show the burners a little bit here too, not just in the passing game, but getting the ball out of the backfield as well. So some interesting observations here, but Andy, the one thing I will say is that more than anything else, what this game served to do is show us which players are probably not going to be here for much longer, at least on the active roster. So I think that's more or less the summation of what we saw in the offense. Anything you think I missed?
No, that was pretty much it. I mean, I would start with the whole weather thing. I thought that was you know, if the Jets had any thoughts of playing these guys, that should have ended it. But Robert Saleh said after the game that they'd come to the conclusion before they even arrived at the stadium that they just didn't feel like it was worth it, particularly with Zach Wilson, to put him out there without Mekhi Becton and with some of the shuffling going on the offensive line. I thought it was telling the other day when he kind of left the door open to him not playing and the starters not playing, and that they were obviously weighing it. And in the end, they decided that the risk outweighed the reward. And it's hard to argue with that because they already lost, you know, a guy in a practice who is a huge guy for this team, Carl Lawson, and they lost a guy for 2 months in Jared Davis, who was an important part of the defense. And you just don't want to lose any of those guys. So there were some guys who were going to play key roles out there. We saw George Fant. We saw Morgan Moses. We saw Keelan Cole. Some of those were kind of the highlights on offense. On defense, we saw Bless Austin and Bryce Hall. And we also saw, I believe, Bryce Huff was out there a little bit. Fulorenzo Fatakasi. Nathan Shepard, I think, will be on the roster. He was out there. So those were kind of the guys on defense. And you saw Jamie and Sherwood. Obviously, they want to get him some experience because he's going to be playing a much bigger role right now. But it was guys – it was not guys that were the main guys. So C.J. Mosley, Marcus May on defense are the main ones that sit. Quinn Williams obviously wasn't going to play because he hasn't played all preseason. He's still working back. And then on the offensive side, the whole interior line, Elijah Vera Tucker, obviously coming back from the injury. Connor McGovern as well. Greg Van Roten, who had a veteran rest day in practice the other day, wasn't out there. And then Corey Davis and Jamison Crowder, guys who know what they're doing and don't need to be there in the final preseason game. So it was kind of like a hybrid between a typical third preseason game and a typical fourth preseason game. A lot of the key pieces out, but some of them out there, which was kind of interesting. And then in terms of highlights on offense, I think Braxton Berrios had a couple of nice catches, and I believe he had a nice return. And other than that, the guys you mentioned pretty much covered it. Ty Johnson, his best drive led to a touchdown. They got inside the 25 and they handed off the ball to him four times. He had four carries for 24 yards. 2 9-yard runs, including one where he truck sticked a guy, then a nice kind of dodgy play to get into the end zone there. He looked good and maybe is a sleeper to kind of be that breakout running back this year. I think he's going to have a big role. I don't know how much Josh Adams or if he's even going to make the roster. I think he's the guy who's most likely to get cut if they decide to only go with four running backs. But yeah, that was pretty much in terms of the good, that was what stood out tonight.
As you said, on defense, we got to see some guys that are probably going to start, including Bryce Hall and Bryce Huff. But, of course, the downside here is you always risk injuries, and Brandon Echols, who has a decent chance to start a cornerback, or at least he's in the mix, he ended up getting hurt, so we'll talk about that a little bit later on. JT Hassel had himself a sack, as did Foley Fatakasi. But for the most part, this was sort of a ho-hum effort for the Jets defense. Elijah Campbell is more than likely going to get cut. We talked about that before we started recording, Andy, again, in the category of players that showed themselves to be non-roster guys here tonight. And I think that was really what the third game was for. It was for roster placement and for guys to determine once and for all whether or not they actually belonged on this roster. And so that was what I took away from this, which guys are going to be here and which guys aren't. Obviously, we know that the guys that are in the rookie class, Michael Carter II, Hamza Nasruldeen, the aforementioned Jamie and Sherwood, who did look pretty bad early on getting juked out of his shoes. But then again, I think a lot of these guys were making business decisions considering the condition of the field and the fact that it's preseason. They didn't want to risk getting themselves hurt. But that's more or less what I was looking to see on defense. And I'm sure Robert Saleh and the coaching staff were looking at that as well.
Yeah, so Sherwood actually, he got himself in good position. I can't remember who caught the ball in the play you're talking about. And then he just missed the tackle. And then the guy who got juked out of his shoes was JT Hassel, who redeemed himself a little later, but he's not going to want to look at that play ever again because he got – I mean, there might be a chalk outline of him on MetLife Stadium field on the MetLife Stadium field because he got juked so hard by Scott, and I think that led to a touchdown. And then there was another low light play later on when Campbell and Dunn combined to miss two tackles that led to another touchdown directly. Campbell was in the competition for that slot receiver position a couple of weeks ago. Solomon mentioned him when I asked him about what he saw in the slot. He was not mentioned tonight when the slot came up after the game. And I don't think he's going to be on the roster. It just was a rough couple of weeks for him. And Isaiah Dunn as well got a chance to start last week, was not impressive, and did not have a good game tonight. I think he's in real jeopardy of losing his spot on the roster, even though the Jets paid a lot of money for an undrafted free agent to give him a look. It just has not been impressive. So those were two guys that definitely squandered chances tonight. Another guy who did not look great, tight end Daniel Brown, missed, like totally whiffed on a block that led to James Morgan getting crushed. Also had a fumble that stopped the Jets from having a chance to have a go-ahead, potentially game-winning field goal drive late in the game, or a game-winning field goal attempt late in the game. And we all know Matt Amendola at this point is automatic, so that would have been a sure thing. So, it was not a good day for him, and blocking has been a struggle for him going all the way back to 2019 in Baltimore when Sam Darnold and Adam Gase appeared to be arguing on the sideline, but in reality they were actually talking about how bad that his blocking effort was. So I don't like his chances of making the roster, especially after a rough night tonight. He does have some value on special teams, but I don't know if that'll be enough to save him. But yeah, those are pretty much the guys that stood out in terms of guys who did not have great nights.
Andy, we know Braden Mann is locked in as the punter, and unless something unexpected happens, Matt Amendola is probably going to be the kicker. They haven't brought in any competition for him. He had a short kick tonight. It was good. As you said, jokingly, or at least half jokingly, he's become somewhat automatic, or at least that's what we're expecting of him as the regular season comes around. And so it looks like punter and kicker are spoken for at this moment.
Yeah, I wouldn't rule it out just because the guy still hasn't kicked in a regular season game, and the Jets might, if a veteran shakes loose that they think is a better option. You know, we've seen it happen before with other kickers who were in this situation, but this kid has looked good. He's made every attempt in preseason games, both extra points and field goals that he's taken, I believe. So you can't do much better than that. And he clearly has a big leg. So I think he's going to get a shot, and he deserves one. So we'll see. Doesn't mean it's going to work out. It's a different animal once you get to the regular season and everything counts, and you're dealing with the pressure of potentially letting your team down. But he's put himself in position to win this job, and I don't think anybody saw that when they signed him a month ago. So good on him. One of the big disappointments of this preseason is that we didn't get to see Braden Mann lay a hit on anybody, but maybe he was instructed not to. Maybe, you know, that's their version of saving him for the regular season, but that's something to look forward to as well. The Jets' best tackler in action week one, maybe laying somebody out.
For nearly four decades, JMK Security Solutions has provided protection for homes and businesses. I know firsthand. I'm Jeff Beckman, and with my wife, Kim, we started JMK Security Solutions. Our attention to detail, service after the sale, and product knowledge are the foundation of our success. JMK Security has routinely been recognized as the best of Madison for security companies. We expect that trend to continue as the next generation, our son Jeffrey, takes over as president. Let us protect what is valuable to you. JKSecurity.com. For nearly four decades, JMK Security Solutions has provided protection for homes and businesses. I know firsthand. I'm Jeff Beckman, and with my wife, Kim, we started JMK Security Solutions. Our attention to detail, service after the sale, and product knowledge are the foundation of our success. JMK Security has routinely been recognized as the best of Madison for security companies. We expect that trend to continue as the next generation, our son Jeffrey, takes over as president. Let us protect what is valuable to you. JKSecurity.com. For nearly four decades, JMK Security Solutions has provided protection for homes and businesses. I know firsthand. I'm Jeff Beckman, and with my wife, Kim, we started JMK Security Solutions. Our attention to detail, service after the sale, and product knowledge are the foundation of our success. JMK Security has routinely been recognized as the best of Madison for security companies. We expect that trend to continue as the next generation, our son Jeffrey, takes over as president. Let us protect what is valuable to you. JKSecurity.com. For nearly four decades, JMK Security Solutions has provided protection for homes and businesses. I know firsthand. I'm Jeff Beckman, and with my wife, Kim, we started JMK Security Solutions. Our attention to detail, service after the sale, and product knowledge are the foundation of our success. JMK Security has routinely been recognized as the best of Madison for security companies. We expect that trend to continue as the next generation, our son Jeffrey, takes over as president. Let us protect what is valuable to you. JKSecurity.com.
Play like a Jet. Play like a Jet.
Andy, we talked about Brandon Echols getting hurt in this game. What do we know about that injury and any other injuries that occurred throughout the game?
As in terms of injuries, I believe that was the only one that actually knocked a guy out of the game tonight. I saw Lawrence Cager went into the medical tent briefly, but he returned to the game. Echols got hurt late in the first half, seemed to immediately know something was wrong as he kind of got up and wasn't moving his right arm. So he was ruled out early in the second half with a shoulder injury. I don't think he was going to win a starting job, but I do think that he was going to be one of the top backups, maybe the top backup, and potentially play a key role. So it's a loss depending on how serious the injury is. We'll have to see when we find out in the coming days. But the Jets got through this game relatively unscathed, which is exactly, I mean, more important than anything else we saw. That's what the most important thing is. So they got out of there pretty unscathed, and now they have 2 weeks to get ready for the first week of the regular season.
Andy, I looked this up during the game, and I couldn't believe when I saw the actual number, but I was curious how many teams Josh Johnson has spent some period of time with. 15 out of the 32 in the NFL. Remarkable. So just going back to Josh Johnson, to me, that was another landmark. Although he had been with the Jets before very briefly in 2015. This guy is a well-paid traveling practice quarterback. It's not an easy living, but he's made a good amount of money doing it. So good for him. After the game, we heard from Mr. Johnson, a couple of other players, and Coach Salah. What did they all have to say?
Yeah, so we heard from Josh Johnson, Ty Johnson, and Robert Saleh. I'll start with Josh Johnson. I thought that I don't think he's going to end up being the backup quarterback, but I think if you go on everything we've seen this preseason, he looks like the best option. Mm-hmm. I mean, he looked very capable out there. He moved around really well for guys in his mid-30s. And he was efficient, as we saw, 7 for 8. He made good decisions, seemed to see the field well. I think we saw more out of him than we've seen, certainly from James Morgan. And Mike White has had some nice moments, but not at any point looked in that much command of the offense. So I don't know exactly how it will work if Johnson will be on the roster. I think if he's not on the roster with the expanded practice squad and the rules, with that, he could maybe find a home there. But, I mean, I think he's a guy that they should keep around in case they do need to get a backup quarterback in the game, because I haven't seen enough from Mike White and certainly from James Morgan this offseason to prove that either one of them is ready to be a backup who can go out and win a game. But in terms of just what, you know, Josh Johnson said after the game, he said he's learned over his years not to worry about the things he can't control. So he's not going to be stressing no matter what happens. He'll figure it out and try to find a way to make an impact somewhere, somehow moving forward. He said he appreciated the opportunity to be out there tonight on the field and to experience kind of the joy that a lot of these players had at the end of the game. Obviously a lot of the guys in the game at that point, when the Jets had the tie that felt like a win, aren't going to be guys who have a future in the NFL, but they got a pretty special moment there. And he said that he felt like it was cool to be a part of that for himself and for those other guys. In terms of what he had to say, I asked him a little bit about what it's like to be the old guy in the quarterback room. He's the only guy with any in-game experience. And he said, it's refreshing that they keep me young. He said, me and Zach Wilson joke all the time that he's closer to my daughter's age than he is to me. So that's got to be like a pretty humbling thing. And it's something we saw similar to Josh McCown and Sam Darnold a few years ago. And then I asked him what he just thought about what he's seen from Wilson on and off the field. And he said, he's the number two pick for a reason. The kid has a chance to be really special. He has all the makeup to be special. He takes it seriously every day, focuses on his craft, and he doesn't take things for granted. He's always learning, and he's really humble in how he goes about his work. I think it's just a matter of stacking the chips and learning every day. I think he'll be just fine. So that's encouraging for a guy, like you said, who's been around and seen a lot, 15 teams. He knows what it's like and what it takes to be kind of a special quarterback, and that he sees that in Wilson. He obviously doesn't have a secure future with his team. He's under no obligation to say stuff like that. So he obviously likes the kid, which is a good sign, for sure. With Ty Johnson, he just said he was excited for the chance to be out there and get a chance to show what he can do. One of the things that he said that was interesting to me was that how he kind of, without ripping on last year's coaching staff, just said, pointed out a very key difference between this year's coaching staff and last year's coaching staff, and said that they're seeing the stuff that they're learning on the practice field, specific drills that they're doing both in special teams and in running back drills, working for them in games over and over again. And he said that has created like a whole new feel and a whole new belief. And he seemed really excited about everything that that means going into the regular season. So I thought that was interesting. And I thought what we saw from him is a guy who has a chance to play a real role on the team this year. And like I said earlier, potentially be a breakout like some of those guys we saw in the 49ers offense a couple years ago. And then with Robert Saleh, I already went over what he said about the decision to not play Zach Wilson. In terms of the other starters, he said that they felt like they got enough work done during the first two preseason games and the joint practices, that this was a better chance to get some of the young guys out there and see what they can do and see if they could, to use his words, etch their spot on the roster in stone. On how many positions were up for grabs tonight, he wouldn't say. I thought it was interesting. He went into the right tackle battle between George Fant and Morgan Moses. And in the end, he said that, you know, they're going to talk about it. They haven't made a decision. But he said, I think it cleared itself up a little bit. I'll wait to tell you guys until we get a definitive answer from everyone in the discussion. To me, that means that Morgan Moses has won the job. He was at right tackle tonight. He's been there starting in the preseason games pretty much, or playing the majority of the time with the first team in practice, in the joint practices. I don't think he would have been there tonight at right tackle if he didn't have the job. And I don't think Saleh would have been speaking about it like that. So I think that's where that's going forward, but we'll have to wait and see. And that was pretty much it. Yeah. Robert Saleh said he's excited about the chance to get to the regular season. It'll be here before they know it, and that they'll start game planning for Carolina pretty much soon. I think the next few days of practice, they practice Sunday and Monday. I think those will be focused on putting these guys in competitive situations and trying to make those last decisions on the roster, putting those guys in the situations where they can prove or disprove that they belong. And then starting on Wednesday, at the first day after the cutdown day, I think they'll start game planning for Carolina and spend the next week and a half doing that. And that's the next step. Carolina, 2 weeks from Sunday, Sam Darnold versus Zach Wilson.
Andy Vasquez, you can read all his work right now. 99 cents gets you everything that not just Andy writes, but everybody at NorthJersey.com, all of their material. And I don't just mean 99 cents for 6 months, as in 99 cents per month. I mean 99 cents over the course of 6 months. So that's about 15 cents a month. You get all the sports, all the news, everything behind the paywall, out in front of the paywall. It's all there for you. Sign up right now at NorthJersey.com and also follow Andy on Twitter at Andy_Vasquez and check out everything we're doing over at PlayLikeAJet.com and the Play Like a Jet YouTube channel. Great film breakdowns by Luke Grant up right now. Plus, Kayla Pace has her commentaries, Pace's playbook. All of that is available. Check out the videos and subscribe to our YouTube channel if you haven't already. And go ahead and give us a 5-star review for the podcast on iTunes if you haven't done that already. Easy way to help out the show if you like what we're doing. Doesn't take you much time, doesn't cost you any money, but it goes a long way to help us out. So if you could go ahead and do that for us, we'd be quite grateful. And for the latest and greatest in New York Jets podcasts and content, you know where to go. That's Play Like a Jet Digital and PlayLikeAJet.com.